Blog Talk Radio.
There we go. Good evening. It's good to have you with us here tonight for another in the series of Establishing Your Faith. And this group of people we got right here is called the Community of Faith. And we're glad to have you along for the ride tonight. We're going to be studying faith all night long. Tonight, we're going to study one of the most valuable parts of our Christian life. It's called fasting. Can I get three cheers from the Zoom crowd? No. This is one of those messages that you should always finish with, like a ice cream social, and say, so we're going to have ice cream when we're done talking about fasting, and then you can go home and start fasting. But fasting is a powerful force in your life. And, you know, the body of Christ has many doctrines on it. And we're gonna give you the only way that you can possibly truly define fasting. It's going to be the one and only true way to believe in fasting. And for those of you who know us, you know, I'm being just a slight facetious there, but it'll be all right. So, you know, I always like to do fasting at the beginning of the year because everybody is focused on starting their year out right, getting many things accomplished in 2023. And of course, the more that we get focused on it, the more we realize God really wants to help us truly have a very strong focus, then, you know, all of a sudden we begin to see God is doing a really amazing, marvelous work in our life. And, you know, for a long time, I felt like fasting was me trying to twist God's arm, but that's just not the case. And really, God really don't want anybody to treat him like that, even though many people do treat him like that. God wants you and I to just walk with him. He just wants us to walk with him. And you know, when we walk with him every day of our life, then he begins to lead us in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And the next thing you know, we're walking with God in a way that we never even knew, maybe even knew was possible. But it truly is there, and it truly is God. And so welcome, welcome, welcome. I got to get a few links sent out. Everybody, make sure you copy and paste. I put the links in the family thread so you can copy and paste this over to your friends, relatives, neighbors, and that one person who you really don't like, send it to them, because probably fasting is the thing that would be able to finally help them get over their sorry self, or whatever it is you think about them. That was, if you didn't know, that was actually a joke. I always like to say, send it to your friends, your neighbors, and even send it to your enemies, because you never know which one of them might say, man, that is exactly what I've been needing to hear, is fasting. And we're going to teach a message tonight that not many actually will probably teach this way, but it's all right. The more I've studied fasting, the closer I've come to the understanding that this really is the answer to fasting and prayer in our lives. We welcome you. My shares are all sent. How about yours? It's Brother Dan. Be glad to let you in.
I'm on Zoom, so I can't send shares until after we go off, and I'm on YouTube.
Yeah.
Then I can share.
Just get you a Frisbee and send it out that way.
I don't have a Frisbee. Okay.
Or one of them Australian boomerangs. Certainly they have those in Louisiana.
But I will tell you that I have had a couple of messages from a few people that have said, I never open anything that Angela sends me because it's always preaching that I don't want to hear. Those are the people who need it the most.
Amen.
So I doubled up on how much I was sending them.
Well, you know, reading today in the book of Revelation again, you just realize it just puts that fire down inside of you again to say, hold it. I don't want any of my family missing the rapture in any sense of any part of the word of miss the rapture. I don't want anybody that I know to not be able to go in the rapture and be in heaven with me. And that just means one thing. We got to get serious about helping them. Not preaching hellfire and brimstone, but give, like Sister Phyllis is saying, giving them the opportunity by at least including their name, that it is there in their grasp, within their grip, their reach, to be able to have the truth in front of them. Then you and I stand in heaven before Jesus. Nothing, they won't be able to say, I don't know, because we will have done our part to put the gospel right in front of their eyes. And, you know, matter of fact, you know, some of them, when they make a statement like Phyllis was just saying, I just look at them and say, well, wait a minute. I'm not going to preach at you. Last thing in the world you need is to somebody to preach at you. You need somebody to help you find out how to walk with God. That ain't about preaching at nobody.
Well, the thing is, I'm the matriarch of my family. My sisters and brothers that have passed on, they kind of expected me to, you know, pick up the slack and make sure that their children and grandchildren were reminded of how much God loved them, how much Jesus did for them, and how important being in heaven with God eternally is to them. And so I'm going to have to aggravate them until they pay attention.
Well, and, you know, you never know when somebody's going to say, I need God. But if you and I have put it in Facebook or, you know, Instagram or YouTube or something, in one way or another, text it to them. We've done our part to get it there and make it available for them. And thank you for all you do, all of you. And you know what? I think one of the greatest things that you and I can see is we are not about building a number so everybody will look at us and say, oh, you have this. I noticed on Facebook yesterday, I finally got back to Facebook again, that we had reached last month 191 different people on Facebook. Well, glory be to God. That's not so we can brag about a number. That's for you and I to say, wow, there's 191 people out there that we reached last month with the gospel of Jesus Christ, showing them who our God is, and every message teaching them. The greatest thing you'll ever do is learn how to walk with God. And, you know, I don't know who says it more, Sister Phyllis or I, but you go to John chapter 17. If you're just starting to walk with God and you realize that John chapter 17 is Jesus praying on the last night of his ministry on earth. And it's at the Last Supper. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for you and me. And in 17:20 through 26, Jesus literally prays, help them to be one with you, Father, like you are with me. And God, you know God our Father is in heaven saying, you got it, Jesus. I will be glad to do that for you and for all of them. And see, now it's not about, well, won't you just join our membership because we want it to reach 1,000. Amen, John. 191 people came to Christ. Amen. I like that. I like that. And I just want to encourage you. And, you know, the numbers we get from YouTube are really interesting because it's like 12,000 hours of videos watched or saw. It's just huge numbers. And we just say, thank you, Jesus, that we're able to put this in somebody's hand. Certainly, I want to know who you are and how you're coming to Jesus. I really would. But I'm going to tell you something else. I don't have to know you. I want to know you. I truly do. I want to be able to say, yeah, Jesus, I know those people. I know who they are. But you know what? Even if I can't, I just want to make sure I introduce you to our Lord and Savior Jesus and give you the opportunity to know him. What a shame that you would come here and meet me or Phyllis or Dan or Sunday or Roger. You would meet us, but that we wouldn't be able to show you Jesus. That'd be the most horrible thing that could happen. Because I'm glad you met me or whatever, but you're not going to stand before me on Judgment Day. You're going to stand before Jesus. So I'm a nice person. I love people. I want to help people. But the greatest thing I want you to do is to know him. Because he lives inside of you once you're born again. And then the bigger that you get God on the inside of you, the more your light shines out here, and the more people see you, and the more they see the glory of God on you, the more they want what you have, and the more we can help them have it. That's just God. That's our desire here at the Community of Faith. Now, let's give a couple announcements because it's always good to have some announcements. I announce to you that you are all blessed and highly favored. Thought I'd get an amen or something.
I accept it.
Amen, Phyllis. All right, Brother Dan even. Huh? Bless you, brother. I announce to you, you're blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Amen, John. I can't get you through the gates. Only Jesus gets you through the gates. I'm pointing you to Jesus. I can grab you by your arm and walk you up to him, but you got to get yourself into Jesus, and he's the one that's going to let you through. All the stories about St. Peter, well, they make you laugh, but St. Peter's not the one with the permission to get you through the gate. And neither are the United States Marines. They say they're guarding the gates of heaven. But I got a word for you, Marines. Wait till you see them, those angel armies that are guarding the gates of heaven. You talk about a warrior. You bow your knee to those warriors because them are some real warriors. And thank you to the United States military for all of your service and making America free. I don't make light of it. I got a lot of friends that are Marines, and we're always jabbing at each other. So just in case you're of the military, and you're like, hey, what's this guy's deal? No, this is a man that respects you greatly, and I'm very appreciative of it. And to all my Marine buddies, I want to be there when you enter the gate of heaven so you can see what the big old angels look like. Because you'll have some very descriptive terms, but you got to keep it clean because we're going into heaven. Now, let's open up our confession tonight. Because in the confession we have, whoops, that's not the right button. We have our mission statement. And Sister Donna was talking about the mission statement this morning. And she inspired me to come. Oh, Jesus, help me. And just state ours out loud a little bit. Why? All right, everybody just hold a second here. Try that again. Who's here? All right. Here we go. Let's try this again. Share the screen. Number one. Share. All right. Now, get the participants out there. There we go. Everybody. Isn't that just something? Well, just stick with me. Try this one more time here. I really want you to see this, and I'm going to show it to you. Here we go. Somebody pray real hard right now. Just say, in Jesus' name, our technologies work every single time.
In Jesus' name, our technologies work every single time.
In the world? Maybe I have to do that. There it is. Thank you, Phyllis. I'm not sure if you scared them into it, but if you didn't scare them into it, thank you. You did get it done. And there's the chat. All right. Now, this is the Community of Faith mission statement. This is our first mission statement. So I want you to see it. And just so that you can have it with you and see what it is and realize God has given us a very specific process that he is expecting us to carry out. The Community of Faith, our two main verses are, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith, 1 John 5:4. Well, if the victory that overcomes the world is faith, then we better know what faith is. And then Hebrews 11:6 is, paraphrased, he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We are in right in the middle, an international family of mountain-moving believers, a growing community of faith. We gather together to study and believe the word for what it actually says, to be free of religiosity and live by faith. We established a power grid of prayer for the United States of America and the body of Christ. Our mission statement, effectively meeting people's needs and propelling them to their eternal destiny. Number two, learning to walk in the righteousness of God, producing the joy of being one with the Father. Number three, preach the gospel of the kingdom, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and you too. Number four, bringing the greatest breakthrough in life to everyone who meets us. Why would you say that, Pastor? Because some people have been around church their whole life and have never had a breakthrough. But God is all about breakthrough. And so we want to help you have one. Number five, demonstrate all the promises of God in him are yes and amen Number six, help every believer move from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from grace to grace. And number seven, help every believer find their place and function in that grace. That is our assignment in God. That's what we come here to do every time we come here. Let's pray our opening prayer together tonight. Remember, those of you that are at home, make sure your mics are muted when we're saying the prayers, because otherwise it might make your video, your camera, be what everybody else sees. Pray this with me. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. According to God's holy living word, God sees our determination to change our world. Hebrews 6:10, God will never be unjust and forget our work and labor of love, which we have shown toward his name, and that we have ministered to the saints here and around the world. My life is a seed I am sowing now to bless others. I give, and I know that what I give will be given to me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It'll be put into my life. For with the same measure I use to sow, it'll be measured back to me in the same measure. Now, I know that many churches use this as a verse to give money. It works for money. But I want you to use this with me, and I've put it in there before, and for some reason it's not there right now. But I know that what I give, my time, my talent, or my treasure, those are the three things that we give that is of the greatest value to God our Father. And he said, whatever you give, it's going to come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Tonight, the Holy Spirit might inspire you to send money to the ministry. That's great. It helps us do the work of the ministry. But the greatest thing you're going to give tonight is your time. And the very fact that you're here with us causes this ministry strength. One puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000 to flight. We don't know the next number because he didn't give it to us, because man would limit him. Three is an exponential number. Jesus said, where two or three of us are gathered together in his name. Well, there's already 10 of us here tonight. And so thank God for that. All of you that will join us on Facebook in the future, God bless you, and God bless your lives in Jesus' mighty name. We fulfill the Great Commission today. And Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the earth. This next screen are the nations of the world that listen to us on a regular basis on Blog Talk Radio. Say this with me out loud. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless our partners and each believer in these nations: United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Malawi, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Uganda, Tunisia, Oman, United Arab Emirates, Bulgaria, New Zealand, Australia, New Guinea, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, Nepal, India, Pakistan, Turkey, Iran, Iraq, the United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, Kazakhstan, China, Romania, and all the nations of the world. And now, from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, we say this many times we come here, and we can't say enough about the body of Christ. So declare this with me. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one spirit. Just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace on your gift in my life. I want to encourage every one of you tonight that's listening. There's only one body, the body of Christ. There's only one spirit. He lives within you. He lives in every one of us. We're called in one hope of our own calling. You're in competition with nobody. There's one Lord, Jesus. There's only one faith. He brought it. There's only one baptism. There's only one God and Father. And every one of us must relate to him personally. That's why it's wrong for any of us to act in a way that it elevates us above someone else. But that's why it's not right for you to compare yourself with somebody else. Because we're all comparing ourselves with the Father and by the Spirit through Jesus' blood and righteousness. And therefore, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you came from, you are the body of Christ and you're blessed in God. And God is going to bring to you everything you need in your life. Say this with me. The fivefold ministry and the body. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what the fivefold are doing. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is what will happen, that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things and to him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body to the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every child that's been aborted cries out today, Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert our justice system and destroy our children. We ask for your mercy. We repent of the sins of this nation. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and heal our land. Right now, we're joining together in faith. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation. And we declare tonight, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. As a we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. God gave this to me many years ago when I began to go to the funerals of the fallen soldiers and minister to the families of the fallen and begin to minister to the military like I do. One day I had to say a prayer, and he gave me this prayer and said, turn it, this is an address, the Gettysburg address that Abraham Lincoln gave at the dedication of the Gettysburg Cemetery. He told me to write it into a prayer and then to use it everywhere that I go when I'm asked to pray. And so that's what this is about. But really what this is a prophetic declaration over the United States of America. So when you and I make this statement together, we are connecting our faith all the way back to Abraham Lincoln in 1863, and we're making a seamless line of faith from the man who proclaimed it till today. When we do that, that continually dissolves the lies and the wickedness that have tried to get their foothold in America. And you and I are calling on God to bring us a great revival here in the nation. Let's pray it together. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from our land. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Now, we very, very often here are continually speaking prophetic words that we've heard other people say. Well, let me say it differently. Prophetic words that the Holy Spirit has said. Whoops, what happened here? There we go. That the Holy Spirit has said through other people. And of course, that's what this is. You know, the Gettysburg Address was Abraham Lincoln in 1863. But it's still a prophetic utterance that has just as much power today as it did then. Just like our Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the preamble. Those are all very important prophetic utterances that were made by people of God leading this nation to the things of God. And so I encourage you that when you hear us say them, remember the greatest periods of our American history, when America was the strongest, was when everybody was making the Pledge of Allegiance, and when we had our children making the Pledge of Allegiance every day in class at the beginning of our day. It was when America was the strongest. Why? Because every generation had a great respect for the flag, and the teacher taught you how to stand and put your hand over your heart and stand at attention and stand in honor and to be silent and be quiet. And then somewhere, some goofball, communists got in and said, well, you can't do that publicly. That wouldn't be right. That might offend somebody. Well, if it offends you, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Leave, because we don't want you here. You don't belong here. If that offends you, our Constitution and our flag offends you, then get out and go to the nation where you want to go, where you won't be offended by us. And I guarantee you, wherever that nation is you go to, it won't be long. You'll be like, I want to come back and enjoy the blessings of the United States of America, because this is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Why do you think millions of people will stream across the border this year to get here? It's not just to destroy America. They're glad to leave where they are and get here to the United States of America. And thank God for it. But I get off on that and preach on that all night long. So I won't. Welcome to the community of faith. This is Nerdia. This is how we do it every single time we come here, just like this. Now, we're on Blog Talk Radio. We're on Zoom. And we're on YouTube. And sooner or later, Sister Leanne knows very well how to share this over to our Facebook page. Sometimes I've been able to do things like that right while I'm talking, but I've had such a hard time getting on my own Facebook page lately that I don't know how to. I would actually get that done. But thank you for those of you that join us on Facebook. And thank you for continually making it work over there. And even though I may not have been over there for a while, it was not because I didn't want to be over there with you. I just had no idea. Honestly, when I finally got back to the page today, it literally made me like my own page. And, of course, who knows why that all happened. It doesn't really matter. As I've said over and over, it's just social media, and so I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to do the work that God's given us to do in Jesus' mighty name. So here we go. Our title for tonight is Deal With It, Fasting Style. Three cheers for fasting. Hip, hip, hooray.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Today, hip, hip, oh my.
Hooray.
Now, a lot of people think that fasting is a starvation situation, so that if I starve myself long enough, then God will finally hear my prayer. Well, this is not a starvation fast or a starvation strike or anything like that. It really doesn't do you any good spiritually to starve yourself, although it would do you good physically from time to time to give your body, your digestive system, a break. And one of the things Sister Leanne and I learned last year as we fasted, beginning of the year, we fasted a 40-day fast with no food. And, of course, you know, whenever you say that, people are like, oh, my Lord, how did you even survive? Well, God has designed our bodies to actually enjoy and it be a blessing to your body when you do that. Now, I know people say, well, I got to take this medication and I got this problem and I got that. No, I'm not arguing none of that with anybody. But it was interesting to me as we were fasting last year, on about day 37, and we were feeling really strong and blessed of God to be able to do it. And man, the growth and the development that we had was just absolutely amazing. But somebody sent us a video of a doctor that actually uses fasting to help people get free from medicine, you know, meds that people take to help them get free from alcohol and drugs, and to help him lose weight, and he uses fasting. And one of the things that he instructs people to do is work themselves up to a 40-day fast and get to the point where they could actually do a 40-day fast and give your body 40 days of rest from the digestive process. One of the things that happens when you do that is it gives your body the ability to digest everything that is laying somewhere in a cell, in a fat cell, in a cell somewhere, and get it all digested and all of a sudden you begin to feel a strength and an energy that you did not know was possible for you. And I'm not saying that because I'm trying to get any of you to fast 40 days. I'm saying this from a physical point of view right now, because as we began to study after this doctor, he is a very, very wise cardiologist that was the one that was giving this. He's not a dietitian, but he began to use fasting from the point of view to help people get rid of some meds. And his first fast he told them to do. Now, just stick with me. I'm going to get to the Bible in a minute, but I want you to hear this. The first fast that he tells people to do is to begin to fast boxed food, prepared food. Now, some of you might have that problem. Some of you might not. The point of it is it's so filled with preservatives and so many just fillers that once you get people to fast that, and his recommendation, I want everybody to listen, his recommendation is give it up 3 times a week and then give it up 5 times a week and then actually spend a whole week with nothing that came out of a box. Well, what begins to happen to you is you begin to feel better physically because you don't have that stuff in you that you don't need. Then he begins to encourage you to fast a meal a day. Only eat two. If you're used to three, only eat two. Now, I'm going somewhere, so just stick with me. Then he encourages you to actually fast 16 hours between your meals. And after we were done with our 40-day fast, we actually went, I don't know, several months, quite a few months, and that's how we lived, where we ate a meal, you eat what you want, how much you want, and then doesn't matter what you eat. You just eat whatever you want to eat. Finish it with ice cream. But then you give your body 16 hours of rest before you eat again. And what it does is it helps the body be the body that God made you. Now, the doctor doesn't say that, but you and I know that, and it begins to transform you. I have, since that fast, I have lost about 25 pounds of weight and have kept it off. Actually, I lost about 30 pounds of weight, but I've kept it off. And I'm so much more healthy now, and I just continually regulate my own diet. There's just days of like, I'm not eating today. What do I do? I'm going to give my body 16 hours off. Now, some of you might say, Pastor, I couldn't go 16 hours without eating. Well, wait, think about it. If you sleep 6 hours, you got six done. And if you don't eat 2 hours before you go to sleep, you got 10 done. And then you only got 6 hours more when you wake up, and that would be lunch. So it would be like giving up your breakfast. Why am I saying this when I'm a preacher and I teach the Bible? Because physically, physiology, this is good for your body. And I want to encourage you. You might say, well, Pastor, this is interesting to me. Then get with me. Because I got the YouTube videos of this doctor. You don't have to do it without actually hearing him say it, and it makes sense to your own mind. I'm not trying to make you do a 40-day fast. We thought we were doing something, and then we found out people do 40- and 60-day fast all the time just for good body health. And you're like, wow, check you out. I thought I was doing something. And yet, when we experienced the good health, all of a sudden you realize all it's doing is putting your body back in the place that God made it and giving your organs the ability to do what God designed them to do. And that begins to make a huge difference in your life in physiology. And now, of course, if you add the spiritual component to fasting, now, when you fast, you not only help yourself physically, but now you help yourself spiritually. And that's what we're going to study right here, right now, tonight. Remember, success isn't measured by how far you have to go, but by how far you've come. I'll say that again. Remember, success is not measured by how far you have to go, but by how far you've actually come. Now, you might say, wow, Pastor, but what's that all about? Well, hey, there's my wife. I love you. And for anybody that's been around Sister Leanne and I, you know, Leanne's a good cook. So to fast her food, it's like, I like to eat the food. And I put this statement in both the Zoom and the YouTube. Remember, success isn't measured by how far you have to go, but by how far you've come. Think about God your Father standing alongside of you, living in you, helping you to get where he knows you need to be. He's not measuring you by how far you've got to go. He's going to continually look at you and say, look how far you have come. Look how far you've come. The only benefit there is in looking back is to see how far you've come and rejoice over the distance run, over the land you've conquered, over the victory that's yours. God said to the children of Israel, I want you to go in and conquer the land. Well, Joshua wrote it in the book so that they would remember exactly how far they've come. And he would be able to say, hey, pay attention. Moses looked at the children of Israel and said in Deuteronomy, call you to record today. This is what God said for us to do. And this is what we've done. And this is what we're going to do. This is why God gives you eyes in the front of your head, so you can see where you're going and not get stuck on where you've been. Now, doesn't matter who you are here tonight. You've had an event in your past that was large enough to cause you to think about it and maybe even get very focused on it. But it doesn't do you any good. Jesus said to the man that said, let me go back and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. In other words, get moving. God's not a God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Once you've crossed over to the other side, you're either in heaven or you're in eternal damnation. So you got to live for today and learn everything we can from yesterday, but never pay attention to it another day. You may be somebody that's divorced. I want you to realize something. Divorce is an event that happens on one day. Divorce is an event that happens on one day. It's not God's plan. God said he gave divorce because of the hardness of people's heart. Doesn't matter whether or not you like that. That's just the plan of God. But it doesn't change the fact that God divorced Israel. And then later on, drew her back to him because of his commitment to her. You and I may have had a failure in business. You may have been bankrupt. You may have had a great vision and a plan happen in your life. Or maybe God has given you a picture of something. And you're like, man, I really need to be that. Well, the answer is for you and I to get ourselves where we got to go and not get stuck in where we've been. There's no value there. You got to let it go. I've had many severe things that happened to me throughout my life. Many of them would be things that would stop most people. But it doesn't matter. What difference does it make? It's not going to stop me. Why? Because God lives in me. What did I miss? I don't know. His mercy endures forever. And it endures to all generations. And there's nothing you can do except put the blood of Jesus on yesterday. It's in the history book. It's written down in your book in heaven. There will come a day you'll be judged for it. So let's learn from today and let's move into tomorrow. My first set of verses that I want us to go to tonight is Psalm 139. Let me say that differently. The first set of verses I'm being directed to use tonight is in Psalm 139. Now, I got a lot of verses here. I got 2, 6, 7, 10. I got about 30 verses here that we can read. And we'll just see where it is that God leads us from these verses. All right? Psalm 39. I know, Psalm 139. And let's go verses. Let's just have the whole chapter, 1 through 24, as our reference. Psalm 139. Now, those of you that's on each of the platforms, I encourage you to put the verses in. And thank you for those of you that's on Facebook. Whenever you listen to these messages, type the reference right in the comments. It'll be a blessing to those that are watching. And here we go. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. Acquainted with all my ways. The psalmist said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the whole earth, seeking whom he may show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are right before him. No, that's in Chronicles. Psalm said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the eyes of the Lord are also on the wicked. And everything is being recorded in a book. Verse 4, there's not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Those of you that have a loose tongue and a foul tongue and a condemning tongue, God knows those words. And he's recording what you say. Remember what Job said? Show me where I did wrong, and I'm gonna put a watch on my lips. Verse 5, you've hedged me behind and before, laid your hand on me. That knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't seem to contain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Nowhere. Where can I flee from your presence? Nowhere. I've met many a person in my lifetime as a pastor that they meet me and are like, oh, you're too much like God. So they decide to go over there. Guess what they find over there? Somebody else who's too much like God. Why? You can't run from God. In him, we live and move and have our very being. That's the book of Acts. I'm in verse 8, Psalm 139:8. If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, partake the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, you're there. Even there, your hand will lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Now watch this. These next five verses are very important. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. See, you and I, it doesn't matter what anybody has ever said, and all the people that says your mamas came from a monkey, you know, just box their ears in a little bit, because ain't a single one of us came from a monkey, because it doesn't cross the gene thing. It doesn't happen. And they're liars. And it's a lie straight from the pit of hell. And it's all right to tell them that. You're lying. And you know you are. Because there's no way any of us have ever come from a monkey. God made you. God made you in your mother's womb. Look at what it says. 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your mama's belly. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed, and in your book all my days were written and fashioned for me, when as of yet there were none of them. Every day of your life and mine was written in a book in heaven while we're in the womb. God already has a book written with your name on it. He records how much you grew in your mama's womb. You know, what do they call it when a lady's pregnant? She goes and has those ultrasound. And the doctor says, you know, the baby grew this much and it's this. And then after it grows a certain amount, it says, would you like to see the gender of your baby, and so then you can see that on the ultrasound. That's pretty cool. Some people like it, some people don't, but whatever. So watch this. In a book in heaven, your days were written. That means even though there's some horrible things that happen to you, it doesn't change the book that God wrote in heaven with your name on it. Look at verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God's thoughts about you and me. If I could count the thoughts, they would be more in number than the sand of the sea. When I awake, I am still with you. But your days are written in a book. You might say, Pastor, that horrible stuff that happened to me, that wasn't written in a book. No, that's not God's book. That is what happened. Most of the bad stuff that happened to us is because we didn't realize there was a book written in heaven with our name on it. Most people don't even know it. Well, that's the whole purpose of this set of verses in teaching about fasting. There is a book written in heaven. You know, Sister Phyllis is with us tonight. I think she's our oldest citizen here tonight. And you're like, what'd you say, Phyllis? You're 78?
81.
81. Please forgive me. I didn't mean to take any years away from you. So 81 years of Phyllis' life have been recorded in a book in heaven. But God's not done with Phyllis. Phyllis has a long time yet to live on this earth. And she's got many children and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. Who knows? It won't be long. It'll be great-great-great, however far out she is, grandchildren that'll be in her life. And all of them will need to see grandma and great-grandma and say, Wow. Look how grandma walks with God. See, I'm using Phyllis because she can tell us an age and we can get a point of 83. What did you say? 81. What did
81.
You
81.
Forgive me, Phyllis.
Age is just a number, though, baby.
Right. Exactly. So why are we saying this when it comes to fasting? Because some of us have lived so much in our own way because nobody taught us the Father wanted to live within us. That it's going to take fasting and prayer to get our flesh to shut up so that we can hear the Father's voice and be found on the page of the book where he's got us now. Everything that's happened that makes your road go like this. And yet, it doesn't matter how far away from the road, the plan, that trail has led. In God, it takes one step to be back in the book and moving down the path. Why? Because it's called obedience. It's called obedience. Now, go with me. This is the most interesting fasting message I've ever preached. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thessalonians chapter 5. Now watch this. Let's go down here to Sixteen to 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-23. Thank you guys for your help in typing in the references. 1 Thessalonians is right before 2 Thessalonians, which is right before Timothy and right after Colossians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God and Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every appearance of evil. Verse 23. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. Paul just said, our spirit, that's who you are a spirit. Our soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotion. And your body are to be preserved blameless to the coming of the Son of Man. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, my body's worn out. I lived hard. I lived in sin. There's the cool thing about our God. He restores the years that the locust have eaten. Go with me real quick to Joel chapter 2. You might not know where to find it, but make sure you write the verse down. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Joel chapter 2. Joel, my goodness, never had this much trouble getting to Joel 2. Joel 2:25. I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. Now, when you go up here, farther up in this set of verses in chapter 2, they repented. They fasted, they prayed, and they repented because they'd done wrong. If you go, verse 15 says, blow a trumpet, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. And then down here in 25, it says, I'll restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And verse 26 says, my people shall never be put to shame. And verse 27 says, my people shall never be put to shame. Joel chapter 2, verses 25, 26, and 27. Now, let's go now to the story in the Bible from Jesus. This is come on, notes. Well, let's just add this to the notes. I'm not going to preach it, but let's add it to the notes. At the end of the book of Matthew, they were asking Jesus, how do we know when the end comes? And Jesus taught several things. One of them he taught was about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. The five wise had enough oil to keep their lanterns burning. The five foolish didn't bring enough oil along. They didn't keep oil in their lamps. And when it came time for the bridegroom to come, they didn't have enough to keep their lamp lit. And they said to the wise virgins, give us some of your oil. They said, no, we can't do that. We'll run out and we won't have enough. You and I got to look at every part of our life and say, wait a minute, I got to live in this same manner as a five of the wise. That means I got to have more than enough God, and more the oil is more than enough of the oil of the Holy Spirit in my life every day so that I can make it clear to the end. Now, go with me now to Matthew chapter 17. And this is really my verses for tonight. No, all of it's been because the Holy Spirit's been leading us. And actually, this is probably oh, yeah. Matthew 17, 14 through 21. Actually, this is one of the more effective messages on fasting I've probably ever taught, because it's not one of those vehement, give it up for God and twist his arm, he'll finally move. This is the story of the man that the disciples couldn't heal, young man. And there was nobody on the earth. Hey, Rebecca Smith is with us. Welcome, Rebecca. Welcome, Roger and John Wayner. Make sure I got everybody. And Sister Leanne, love you, love. And there we go. Oh, I see. Roger and Rebecca both have a brown R. There's my deal. All right. So Jesus is up on the mountain. He's transfigured in front of the disciples. Peter's like, man, let's build a temple and stay here. Have you ever been there before? I have. But man, if you missed this morning's prayer time, make sure you listen to it, because Brother Dutch is laying it out. And my goodness, though, let me say it differently. The Holy Spirit spoke to Brother Dutch very powerfully about the fact that you and I have got to disciple people and help them grow up in God. And bottom line, Peter, James, and John had gone to the top of the mountain with Jesus. Jesus transfigured in front of them. They saw Moses and Elijah. And so they're on the way back down the mountain. And their eyes are this big around, you know. So they get to the bottom. And we're going to start in verse 14, John 17, 14. When they came to the multitude, a man came to Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, where is my pen? I don't think that's what he said, but who took my pen? You know how it is. You always want to blame somebody for taking your pin. All right. Doesn't matter. We'll use this pin. There it is. How can you set your coffee cup on your pen? Remember when you see capitalized pronouns, that's Jesus. I like to circle them. Verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic. And many people have described it in different terms. Another term for it is moonstruck. I'm not sure what that is. But some people have also described it as any one of what they would call a mental process of the different kind of diseases. But here's the reality of what it is. He often falls into the fire and into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. So Jesus' disciples were the most successful demon-casting out team of believers there was on the earth. Watch this. So this man brought him to the disciples because obviously he had seen the disciples cast out demons. He had confidence when he brought it to the disciples. He brought his son. He believed that the demon would be cast out. And of course, he called it a demon because it forces him into the water, drowned, into the fire, burned, throws him on the ground. And so you can tell that that's a force that's not human. Human nature wouldn't make you drown. You would rise up to not be drowned. Watch what Jesus did. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. The disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast this one out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible. He didn't say because of your lack of faith. He said because of the unbelief. However, this kind of unbelief does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, for years, the church has taught that this kind of demon doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. But it can't be the demon, because how would you ever know the right kind of fast to do for the day so that when you met somebody with a demon, you're certain to be able to get the demon out, you know? So when you break this sentence down to what Jesus is really teaching us, he's teaching us about unbelief. And so he's not saying the only way to get this demon out is by fasting, because then what do you do if somebody walks up and they have a very strong demon in them that's been in for many years, and the person has given themselves to it over and over and over and over? How are you going to get it out? Well, excuse me, sir, I'll be back right here tomorrow. I'm going to go fast and pray. Make sure you come back here tomorrow. You see, that's not going to happen. So Jesus isn't dealing with demons. Jesus had already given them a power and authority over the demons. What Jesus is dealing with is the unbelief. Now, there's a lot of different teachings that's out there. One of them is when the child fell down, because remember what it says, and as they brought him, the child fell down and writhed It's not in this one. Let's see. I think it's in Mark. Mark chapter 9. Let's go there real quick. Write that down. Mark 9, 14 to 29. Mark 9, 14 to 29. Yes, it's in Mark 9, 26. Jesus said, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed himself greatly, and came out of him. But, see, let's go back to verse 20 now. Hold on just a second. 26 and 20. And I'm going to circle both of them and draw a line between them. Verse 20, they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Sometimes what you see in people could have a tendency to cause you to say, how am I ever going to get that demon out of that person? Maybe it's somebody that you know, and they've been under the same oppression for years. Maybe you've made a statement that says, well, you know, some people just have this, but God loves you still, and, you know, just bear up under it. That's not God. Jesus never left anybody bound by the devil that wanted to be free. Never. Never. Everybody that wanted to be free that came to Jesus got free. So Jesus is teaching them that this kind of unbelief will only come out by prayer and fasting. The unbelief will only come out by prayer and fasting. And you might be like, all right, so I'm going to give up food, and that's going to give me spiritual strength. Well, a little. But what's going to happen to you is you're going to get control of your flesh. If you truly fast and you truly give up your food and you truly, maybe you just fast a whole day with nothing but drinking water, what's going to happen to you? Your body's going to revolt. And the challenge in fasting is to go through that revolt and say, you don't control me, body. I'm the spirit. I'm in control. Shut up, no headache, no puking, no confusion, no sadness, no tired. Just shut up and draw from the strength that's already within you. Well, when we met the doctor, somebody asked the question, how long can you actually fast? And he said, the body, most Americans, not all over the world, but most Americans have enough vitamins and minerals already stored up in their body that they could live for 60 days without food. I didn't say that. A medical doctor said that. And a cardiologist. Wow. That's really something. So when you fast, it's not just give up food and starve. It's fast. Enter in to the Word of God. Enter into prayer and communion with the Father. And get into a place that's closer with him. When you fast, it's time to take yourself in to a new level of studying the Word of God and finding out what it really means. God, give me a revelation of how to do this. I say to us all the time here that all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. But if you don't know what the promises are, how will you use them? And how will you get the benefit of them? Well, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to get a notebook. You're going to write some stuff down on it. You're going to come to the program. Every time I give you a set of verses, as I read them and those verses reach out and grab a hold of you, write that reference down. When the program's done, write the verses out. Put them in your phone. Make a note in your phone so that you can begin to speak those words, the word of God, over and over. Because the only way to get these words off of the pages of this book into your life and get them working is to speak the word of God. It's the only way it works. We studied it last night. If you need to hear that message again, go back last night to the Establishing Your Faith. You'll be able to see it, EYF. You'll see last night's date. And it's about speaking the word. You've got to speak the word. Only way this word is going to work is that you've spoken it in here. The revelation of it has come alive and has produced the ability for you to look at that mountain and say, no, I know who I am. You move. You move. There's a lot of people who say, well, Pastor, I could never do that. I just give it to the Lord and I just let him deal with it. And if he decides to do something, that's good. And if he don't, that's good too. Well, no, that's not how it works. That's not how you got saved. That's not how you got filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not how you're going to get healed. That's not how this word works. You have to believe in your heart and you have to speak with your mouth. And then the word begins to work. Hey, but Pastor, I'm just one of those believers that I just trust in God and let him do it. That's not how it works. That's not how it works for anybody. Jesus said, when you pray about your life, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. So there comes a point where you got to say, hold it. This is God's will for my life. Therefore, I have to go to this book, the Bible, find the verses that matches that statement. And I got to begin to speak them out loud so that they'll get down inside my life and produce life inside this body. See, otherwise all we have here is just a revival service, and we get people saved, and they're glorified. There, Lord, you got saved. Amen. Go about your way. No, see, that's not how it works. Once we get you born again, we now got to get you discipled. We got to teach you how to take this book and get it to work in your life. Well, there's only one way it works for anybody. I remember thinking when I first went to Dr. Barclays, I remember thinking, how in this world am I going to get this working in my life? Why don't you think about this? What God speaks in this word has the ability to bring itself to pass because he's designed it right in every word. But have you ever noticed that healing doesn't just automatically happen? And financial abundance didn't just automatically happen? And victory over the devil doesn't just automatically happen? The word itself has enough power in it to make itself come to pass. But I want you to realize something. We are not Adam in the garden before the fall. He fell. And now we're man that must deal with that fall. We're not Abraham in the beginning of the covenant. Covenant happened. Wilderness happened. Children of Israel wandered for 28 generations. Jesus came to the earth. Jesus lived. He died. He rose again. Went to heaven. Established the church. We're not David conquering the kingdom. We're not Moses delivering the children of Israel. We're not even the 12 disciples with Jesus as their master and rabbi. So thank God those stories are in this book, the Bible. And they point the way so that you and I can learn how to live. Let's find that verse. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your leadership in our lives. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 1 through 13 is the reference. See, we are the post-resurrection, post-ascension, post-infilling of the Holy Spirit, ecclesia, the body of Christ. We are the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. That is who you and I are. The work is already done, and what we got to do now is walk in what's already done. Now watch. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. Now watch what this says. This is an interesting fasting message, Holy Spirit, but I love it. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, watch this, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were baptized. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. People in the wilderness were drinking from Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. And their bodies were scattered in the wilderness because they rebelled. And they refused to go in. Verse 6. These things become our examples. We can't live like they did. We're not those people. We're not under the old covenant like David, so don't try to be like David. We're under the new covenant. Our example is Christ. People say all the time, well, David sinned with Bathsheba, so what's wrong with I do? Because David's not your example. Christ is. David had to pay a penalty for that. He lived in battle the rest of his life. These are examples to the intent that we shouldn't lust after evil things as they lusted. And don't become idolaters. People sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Don't commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them fell in one day. 23,000. The ground opened up and swallowed. Don't let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Because verse 11 again. All these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed so he doesn't fall. No temptation is overtaking you, except what is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also provide a way to escape. Now think about this. We're not Old Testament believers. So for us to go back and be under the Old Testament ways doesn't work. We're on this side of the cross. We're on this side of the ascension. We're on this side of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We're on this side of the ecclesia, the church being established. We're on this side of the Bible being written and handed to us so that we can compare the lives of all these people. So you and I have to live a completely different life than all of those other people lived. Even the 12 apostles of the Lamb and Paul. Paul was writing the Bible, but nobody else had a copy of it. Peter was writing the Bible, and he sent it to a church or a couple of them. But it wasn't in the hands of everyone. So you and I got to look at this and say, hold it. We are a different group of believers than what those people were. And therefore, there's a different responsibility and accountability that we got to do. Now, because we have this whole book and we have the ability to study it and harmonize it and see the truth in Genesis and Revelation and Psalms and the Proverbs and the Gospels and Acts. And well, now we got to learn how to use this and make it work for our lives. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. No, that's a good check. But we're going to go to Hebrews 4. Well, let's do this. Yeah, we can do this. Now watch this. Hebrews 3. Let's do 1 and 2. And 12 and 13. 1 and 2, 12 and 13. Hebrews 3, 1 and 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. We said that in our confession out of Ephesians 4, that we have a holy calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now, when it says confession, that's not you going and sitting in a booth with a priest sitting on the other side saying, my child, have you sinned? Father, I have sinned. This word confession means speaking the word. Jesus is the high priest of your confession. Do you know it's possible for you to put Jesus in the unemployment line? That's just a funny way to say it, to get your attention. If you're never speaking the word boldly in faith to come to pass in your life continually, Jesus can't be the high priest of a confession that says, I'm going to die, I'm sick, I'm diseased, I can't make it, it doesn't work. He can't be the high priest of that. So you and I have to learn how to take the words off of these pages, put them in our heart, and speak them boldly. Then Jesus becomes the high priest of that confession and brings it to pass. But you can put him on the unemployment line, because if it's not in heaven, he can't bring it to pass. He can only bring to pass what absolutely, actually already exists in heaven. He'll deliver you from this stuff on earth. But see, that's the verse that says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. Let the bound say, I am free. Because he can't high priest, I'm broke. He can't high priest, I'm sick. He can't be the high priest of I'll never get it. It doesn't work. I don't know. So we got to give him the word of God out of our mouth for him to be able to bring it to pass. Watch. Verse 2, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all of his house. The Father appointed Jesus, so Jesus is faithful. Verse 12, brethren, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. I'm not going to do that, Pastor. No, I know you're not. Neither am I. But what about the words of our mouth? God help us. Verse 13. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, this word is so alive, but it only comes alive when you speak it. Let's go. Chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. And 11 and 12. Now, 11 through 16. 1, 2, and 3 and 11 through 16. Hebrews 4, 1, 2, and 3 and 11 through 16. Since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it. For the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who believe do enter the rest, as he said. Only way you prove you believe is to speak with your mouth. I love how you guys are saying amen. See, if this book doesn't work in all of our lives, then what are we doing? Being religious? No, this book actually has to work for every one of us. But you can't look at yourself and say, well, it works for Pastor, but it can't work for me. Because I'm not the high priest of your confession. Jesus is. I'm not your savior. Jesus is your savior, just like he's mine. The Father is your father, just like he's mine. The Holy Spirit is your empowerment, just like it's mine. I don't get blessed because of you. You don't get blessed because of me. I'm blessed because I enter in. You're blessed because you enter in. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak over Rebecca tonight. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of her mortal body, giving her life and life more abundantly right now. She's eating too much chocolate. If she's had too many potato chips, we declare strength to our sister. I'm just teasing with you, Rebecca. I do speak life to you and to your body. Verse 11, Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest. Well, how are you going to be diligent if you just carry your Bible everywhere you go? No. See, diligent to enter the rest means the process you got to do. Watch what it says. lest anyone fall by the same example of disobedience. Well, what did it just say over there? They didn't mix the word with faith. What is the mixture of faith? Is their mouth. Caleb and Joshua said, we're able to go in. Let's go. They said, we're not able to go in. And they died. A perfect example of mixing the word with their faith. Caleb and Joshua said, let's go in. We're able. The rest of them said, we cannot go in. We will die. And they died. And Caleb and Joshua went in. Why? Because God was the high priest of their confession. It's a simple example. Now look at verse 12. The children of Israel didn't have this verse to live by, but we do. The word of God is living. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God pierces to the division of soul and spirit. This word will help you discern between your soulish realm and your spirit realm. You feel better suddenly. Why? Because all of us spoke our faith with you. It's not weird. It's faith. It's faith. Verse 12. The word of God divides the joints and the marrow. Look at this. The word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when you're fasting and you're focused on the word, as you speak it, the word comes to life. And you're like, oh, I see it. What happens? Revelation of knowledge comes to you. And the word is no longer just logos, written word on a page. It now becomes rhema, the revealed word of God. The revealed word of God. Jesus is the high priest of our confession of the words we say. But he can't high priest sickness, disease, poverty, loss. All right, I got to go here because I can tell I got a few people saying, show me. All right, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. That's how immediately we should see our prayers manifest that fast. Not someday down the road. I don't expect my prayers to manifest tomorrow. I expect my prayers to manifest today. Say this with me. Mountain, move now. Mountain, move now.
Mountain, move now.
Now. See, Jesus said to the disciples, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to that mountain, move. And the very act of saying, mountain, move, builds faith. People say, I want great faith. Then tell the mountain that's not moving to move. That's how you build faith. Tell the sickness that you see to get out, even though it's not gotten out. That's how you build faith. Tell poverty that might have a grip on you, I am blessed in the face of poverty. And that's how you build faith in your life. You're going to give me back to you in a minute.
Oh, hi, everybody. Love you.
Hello.
Hi, Bulldog.
Hi, love. We didn't get one bit of back feedback.
Isn't that something?
Now, how did that happen? And doesn't matter. Mountain move is how we do this. Now watch. Just before I did the program.
Oh. Did we have dinner?
No. Luke 4. Did I tell you that? Luke 4. Luke 4, 16 through 19, through 20, through 21, through, let's do Luke 4, 16 through 30, in case somebody comes and in the future says, wait, what's the reference here? And here we go. Luke 4, 16. So he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. He was handed the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written about him. Watch this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. God's Spirit is on Jesus because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This is Jesus anointed by the Holy Spirit. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captive and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, which means today is the day of salvation. And he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant. And he sat down in the chair that was reserved for the Messiah that nobody had ever seen. And all the eyes of those in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is revealed, fulfilled, in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And then they began to mock him. Verse 28. And all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and they drove him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill in which their city was built, and might throw him down over the cliffs. Now, let's pray for Okalartse. In the mighty name of Jesus, as we have prayed every time we come here, and have prayed for Okalartse, I command in the realm of the spirit that all of the spiritual battle that surrounds this person's life, you must bow to the name of Jesus now, by the blood of Jesus, and by the name of Jesus, by the holy word of God, by the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I speak, every symptom in your body stop. I command, these symptoms are real. They disappear. And all of this becomes to an end immediately. By the hand of Almighty God, I speak this now in the name of Jesus and according to God's holy word. Everybody say, it is done. Health
done.
Belongs to Okalartse in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Jesus' mighty name.
Now, oh, I man, I did so good, and then all of a sudden the last 15 minutes was like gone. Watch this. 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What did Jesus preach to the poor? Just suffer a little bit longer. Don't worry about it, but you'll be all right. Jesus. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. What did he say? Broken heart, be made whole. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. You are set free. But Jesus didn't say, well, I sure hope something happens. He said, you are set free. To proclaim, this is the day of the Lord. Now Jesus, who paid the price, who was sinless, who shed his blood, took the stripes, went to hell as a spotless lamb, overcome the devil, came back to life, rose again triumphant. That Jesus is the one that is making our words come to pass as we speak them. He is the high priest of our profession. And in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And the same Holy Spirit that was filling Jesus is filling you and I. So when we fast, we're not fasting like the Old Testament saints. We're not fasting even like Jesus fasted. We're not fasting like the disciples fasted. We're fasting as born again, spirit-filled, water-baptized, sons and daughters of Almighty God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus, ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, kings and priests to our God. Nobody in church history has what we have. Therefore, the whole purpose of the fast is to set aside the food and get control of this flesh. Sister Leanne will try, as she walks in with her food for supper.
Should I go?
No, it's like Sister Phyllis. We're sitting here talking before the service starts, and Phyllis told us all about this wonderful meal she ate, and she said, what are we having for supper or for service tonight? I said, fasting. But wait. That's how it always happens. The only time the pastor's going to call a fast is when the next day somebody's invited you to eat a 24-ounce, you know, porterhouse steak with them. It's okay. That's why I said every time we have a fasting message, we should end it with an ice cream social. But this is the point of this whole message. What is the point, Pastor? When we fast, it's not just a starvation diet. If I starve enough, God will listen to me. There's no verse in the Bible that says starving gives you power over the devil. Jesus already gave you power over the devil in his name. So we got to see these verses for what it is. What Jesus is saying to us is fasting helps us overcome unbelief. You know, last year we started out and Sister Leanne and I was here and we were like, well, let's fast. All right. Well, what are we going to do? Well, 3-day fast. We'll fast everything for 3 days. And we got about, you know, 2 hours into that and it's like, no. You probably better fast a week. And I don't know. We were a couple of days in it. And it's like, you know what? We might as well just fast 40 days together.
No, we were going to do 21.
21?
When we got to 21,
we got to 21. Is that how it was?
Yeah.
And I want everybody to remember that women remember everything. But this time I didn't use that other statement about it. I just said women remember. But that's good. You're right. Because I remember thinking, you're right, because I remember thinking at 21 days, it might be a few years from now again before I get to 21 days of fasting, and I only got 19 more to go. I'm not going to stop now. I'm going all the way.
Yeah.
And then when we got to 40, I'm like, man, I'm at 40. I might ought to go to 60 just because. Why? Just because I'm already at 40. It's not that far away to hit 60. But anyways, the point of it is this. During that fast, of course, we didn't eat. So that gave us much more focused time to turn on the messages and say, wait, we are going to get this message that is being preached by our spiritual leader, and then write down the verses, put them into a confession, and begin to speak it out loud. And that's what I want to help you do this year during the fast. Now, one of the religious traditions, I got a break off of some of you. Let me say it differently. One of the religious traditions that God is going to break off some of you is the fact that you have to read 5 chapters a day or something in order to be a good Christian. That, if God's told you to read that, then do it. But the only way you're going to get the benefits of this book in your life is you got to find the specific verses and begin to speak them specifically. Or all you've got is a handful of general knowledge about the Bible. And until you get focused and say, hold it, what does the word say about this? And then stay on it until it comes to pass. Then you're going to continually bounce from one thing to another and never gain the victory. Some of you need to get real serious with the verses on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because you're still trying to be righteous in your own strength. Well, and it's never going to work. Pastor, don't say that. You'll discourage me. No, I'm not going to tell you to quit trying. Try. Work hard. But you don't have any righteousness-producing ability inside of you.
Amen.
Nobody does. Billy Graham, not Charles Stanley, not Kenneth Copeland, not Oral Roberts, not, I don't care who your hero is. None of us have a righteousness-producing force on the inside of us. So we have to accept Jesus' blood and righteousness. His blood purges the sin, and it's gone. His righteousness then fills us as a free gift, and we function in Jesus' righteousness.
Amen.
How am I going to get this, Pastor?
Wow.
You're going to go to Romans chapter 5. Write these verses down. Don't fudge on this. Romans 5, verses 1 through 21, and mostly 15 to 21. And you'll get the doctrine of righteousness of God. But here's where many people fail on it, because they don't speak it out loud enough for Jesus to become the high priest of it and give them the revelation. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll get those 6 verses, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, oh, 7 verses, 21. If you get those 7 verses, and you will read them out loud so many times in a day that in the matter of a couple of weeks, you have them memorized. You will get the revelation that it's a free gift. And once you accept it, now you get to live in the power of it. It's very simple. If I, well, Dr. Barclay said it the other day on one of his messages. He said, A young lady texted him and said, Pastor, sending you this large seed. And he's like, wow, that's a large seed. And she said, can I call you or something? And he's like, yeah. She said, I had an aunt that nobody knew was wealthy. And she said, I didn't know she was wealthy, but I loved her and would go see her and stuff. And then she died. And she said, all of a sudden, after she had died and been gone a while, somebody said, you know, maybe we ought to read her will and see what's in it. And the lady had no children. So she left what she had to nieces and nephews. And the young lady said to the pastor, I don't ever have to work another day of my life unless I want to. She left me so much money. And she said, I never knew she was rich. I never knew she had it. But here's the truth, guys. If she didn't learn how to cash in the inheritance, she would never get the benefit. If you and I don't learn through the study of the word how to become prosperous, healthy, strong, solid, miraculous working power, the only way that we're going to be able to do this is we pick up this book and say, how do I do this? And then, just like Rebecca tonight, came and said, I'm not feeling good. We prayed immediately. All of us had the prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, spoke the word, and spoke the Holy Spirit power. And she said she immediately felt better. Well, why is it? Because we've learned to do that here. And Jesus is the high priest of our profession. Clark, she just made the statement of the condition that she, that I forget. Please remind me again. Are you a male or a female? I feel so bad at having to say this to you. Okay. I keep dancing around it and I can't dance around it no more. Please remind me whether you're a male or a female, because I've forgotten. And I don't know how to look at that name and decipher it. But just like that, when we prayed, power of God went to work. Why? Because I've learned how to release that power. And I'm learning more and more every day. But you don't learn it until you get yourself focused and say, I'm going to get this in my life right now. Mountain, move. And the very fact that you say to that mountain to move when it doesn't is how you build faith. That's the process. When you're broke and you say, I am rich, that's how you move that mountain. When you're sick, but you don't say that, you say, I am healed. That's when you get healed. Why? Because you're speaking the word, and Jesus is the high priest of that profession. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
From anybody, anywhere, and an amen. Now, let's bring this to a close.
That's awesome, Rebecca.
Amen, Rebecca. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for putting that in there. Brother Roger, I just want to say you've done a great job tonight, my brother.
Yes, you have.
Of putting the verses in. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of you are going to have to get this out and listen to it again. Okay? I encourage you to do it. Now listen to me. Learn to put a timestamp in on the places that really speak to you. Pastor, I don't even know how to do that. When you're listening to me preach and you're like, wow, hit pause immediately. When you do, on the YouTube video, there will be a timestamp. It'll say 10 minutes, colon, 25 seconds. Go to the comment section. Type that number in. And then put a statement about what it is. All right, you ready? Watch this. Excuse me.
You lost your train of thought for a
second. I didn't. I was resisting a sneeze. Okay. So let's say it says 10, 22. This is the answer to faith. It doesn't matter if somebody agrees with you or not. Who cares? When you click enter, I want everybody on YouTube to look at this. That's what it looks like. That's what a timestamp would look like. I'll put it over here, and well, Sister Phyllis already knows because she does it, and so does Brother Dan. That's what a timestamp looks like. What did you do? When you hit pause, you look and see what the little time thing says. Take that number, put it down in the comments, and then type a statement that means something to you. It doesn't matter if it means anything to anybody else. I have timestamps on probably hundreds of videos across the internet. Why? Because they mean something to me. Now what happens? Here in the corner of your YouTube, you'll get a little bell. And anytime somebody else clicks on your timestamp, it sends you a notification. And then you're reminded, oh, yeah, I made that statement. And then you go back and you're like, oh, man, that's a powerful message. And then you hear it again. But what does it give you the ability to do? The next time you come back to hear the same message, you can go straight to that point of the message by clicking that timestamp. And it'll take you right to that statement. And now, let's say you're using this message on fasting. For the next week, you can go right back to that spot about fasting. Click that. All you got to do is just click on it because it'll make that number highlighted. Click on that number. And the next thing you know, you're right back to the same spot. You don't have to search for it. You don't have to find it. It automatically takes it back there. Watch this. And when you put a timestamp in, YouTube gives us 2 clicks for 1 timestamp. So the video actually gets 2 clicks every time you click on a timestamp, which I think is pretty cool. Now, somebody else gets blessed by it. And it's an amazing blessing too. Go ahead.
That only matters though if you're being paid the rate for your...
Well, true, except the more clicks you get, the more people look at it and say, there must be something here. Some of these timestamps that I have 50, 75 people click like on it. I think that my timestamp I put on that doctor's video was up over 200.
Wow. Yep.
And if you want to see an example of one of my timestamps, then shoot me a text and say, hey, Pastor, show me one, and I'll send you one so you can see it. Because it's a great way to take YouTube and make it effective in your life. Now, for those of you who love this message, and you're like, what are we doing about timestamps on the end of a good, powerful message? Because it's just a powerful, powerful tool if I can teach you how to do it. The greatest thing you're ever going to learn from me is how to use your tools to build your faith. in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's pray. Matter of fact, everybody say this with me. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Okay, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Even if I don't know where that address is. Pastor, you're laughing in prayer. Wait, all of us know that verse. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as powerful as that verse is in any prayer, why don't we know the address? Because we never wrote it down and then said it often enough that it got down inside of us and we have the ability to know where it is. Now, I just said that on purpose to prove a point. Let's see if I can find it. Nope. It's in Hebrews. I know it is. Brother Dan, if you know it, say it. Hebrews 13:8. I didn't know the exact reference, but I knew it was Hebrews 13 somewhere. Hebrews 13:8. So what is it that I'm showing you right now? We know that verse. The Holy Spirit will bring it to our mind when we begin to pray. But if we don't know the reference or how to tell somebody else to find it, then we need to write it down on our paper, write it out, and speak it out loud until it is established in our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. You ready? This time we'll finish our prayer. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you fill my life.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you fill my life.
To overflowing every day.
Overflowing every day.
And just like you filled Jesus.
And just like you filled Jesus.
And he went about doing good.
And he went about doing good.
I know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit.
I know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit.
And I will go about doing good.
And I will go about doing good.
And healing all who are oppressed of the devil.
And healing all who are oppressed.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
I'm not quite sure who it was, but there was a religious person that's with us that said, Pastor, you can't heal nobody. Oh, no, I can't heal anybody. But the Holy Spirit in me can. And I can be the pipeline that Jesus flows through.
Amen.
Should I give
Praise
you that
God.
Verse too? No, because pretty soon we're going to need another 4 hours just to keep teaching this same message. Here we go. It's time now for us to receive communion. And we're going to receive communion just like the disciples did with Jesus on that last night. And in Luke, it says about the disciples, Luke 22, it says that Jesus said, with great desire, I have desired to take this Passover with you. Luke 22:14-23. Jesus, with great desire, we desire to receive this Passover, this communion with you tonight. Some of us may have been looking forward to it all day long, just to spend this time and communion with you. In Jesus' mighty name. See, this is a holy time. It's not just crackers and bread and juice. This is holy. And so, I encourage you tonight. Maybe this is the first time you received communion. And you're like, you guys are different. Now, we're just a body carrying out the assignment God gave us to do. He doesn't give everybody this assignment, but he gave it to us. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read the verses of Scripture. And really what I got to start doing is assigning this out and having some of you read these verses so that I'm not reading all the verses. And everybody's gift is being brought to life. But I don't have that done yet today, except that I would call on Sister Leanne, but she probably wouldn't appreciate that.
The communion
verses?
No.
Time out. I was just making it funny. I apologize.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Aren't you eating supper?
Huh?
Aren't you eating your supper?
No,
oh, you already ate it. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, and then 31. Now, some of you may have never laughed during communion. And of course, I would have been amongst that group of people that had never laughed during communion until, of course, we got here. And then twice, while we were in the middle of communion, the Holy Spirit snuck up on us really good and broke out in our midst with laughter, until we actually just fell on the floor laughing. Maybe you don't understand that. I want to encourage you in this. Check the spirit to see if it's of God. That's what I had to do. I had a glass of communion juice, and I had to sit on the table so I didn't spill it. And I had to test my... The spirit was, I lay on the floor laughing during communion. No, see, Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he called it joy. He endured the cross, despising the shame. We're not glad our sins did it to him. But we're glad his blood is free.
Amen. Thank you.
I married way above my head, dude. Thank you, John. Love you, brother. And yes, I did. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he blessed it. He broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 28 or 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim. Do you hear that word? You proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, burial, resurrection until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. That's the process. Examine yourself. If you've sinned, repent. And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. First John chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this. We might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is right now on that throne, so are we in this world. Perfect love, cast out fear and the torment, the trauma that goes with it. Because there is no fear in God's perfect love. And there is no fear in the communion element if you know how to receive it properly. We're going to pray prayer of salvation so that we're certain that everybody that's with us tonight is right with God. If you've not ever prayed the prayer of salvation, born again, pray the prayer, you know, there's all kinds of words people say, become a Christian, pray this prayer. If you mean it from the depths of your heart, you'll be saved. If you're just quoting words, you got to get it past quoting words in order for it to have effect. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you, you give me everlasting life. And I will not perish. Jesus, here's my declaration of faith. I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your arms out and just say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
In all of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God. Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Now, you might say, Pastor, well, what just happened to me? God is filling you with himself right now. Well, why would he do that? Because you just said, Jesus, come into my life. This is the most amazing thing about the life as a believer. God comes to fill you and make his abode within you. You didn't get church. You didn't get religion. You didn't get a denomination. You got God Almighty making his abode within you. Not someday if you're good enough. As soon as you say, I receive you, he lives on the inside. And he's now going to lead you from in here, out here. You no longer have to think, if God can just speak out of heaven, get it through my skull, maybe I'll get this. He's in here. You've been born again. He lives in you. If that don't make you do backflips and jump up and shout up and down something, you got to get something going here. How do I do this, Pastor? Get your Bible. Right here. It's like this one. Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I say, that's a big old Bible, Pastor. Yeah, it is. It's a blast to carry around. It totally freaks some people out when you walk in with it underneath your arm. But hey, I want a man to Jesus in a truck stop diner because of this Bible under my arm while I went to eat with my brother Tim Brown. Now, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Listen to this. And circle every time you see Jesus say, my Father. Why? Because Jesus came to reveal the Father to us and crush the power of the enemy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Jesus revealing the Father to us. At the end of those chapters, he crushes the enemy with his death, burial, and resurrection. And all of that power now lives in you. He had just adopted you into the family. You're an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. You need a body of believers like us. You might say, Pastor, my church don't know none of this. Then come hang out with us. You might say, there's no church in my town. There's places there's no churches even in the town, the whole town. Hang out with us. This is a good church right here. You want a place to send your tithe? Bring it right here. We'll bless it. We tithe on it again and send it on. Dr. Barkley tithes on it again and sends it on. That's how this system works. We'll be a blessing to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. So every time we go live, you can be with us. And we'll be a blessing. You know what's so cool? I like to see the numbers because I like to see how many people we touch. But I don't have to be concerned about numbers. I don't have a goal. I'm going to reach 1,000. I'm going to reach 100 likes. It doesn't matter. I mean, Sister Leanne and I watch the likes on YouTube and Facebook and like, oh, yeah, I got another one. But not because we're going to go brag on it. That means we just impacted somebody else's life. And that person knows 200 people. Yeah. So every person we meet has the potential of preaching to 200 people. Glory be to God.
Yep, building the army.
And I want to talk those numbers. But not because of me. Because we just now put the gospel in that many people's lives. Yeah. And now on Facebook, people having 700-800 friends, 1,000, 2,000 friends, you put one of these messages up over there, it'll transform people's lives, a bunch of people, in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's receive our communion together. Don't have to preach on me all day long. Here we go. Ready? Hold your elements up, and we'll bless them together. Say this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes, I am healed.
And by your stripes, I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying from my body.
Every joint supplying from my body.
In the broken body of Jesus. And the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And around the world wherever you send us.
And around the world wherever you send us.
God bless our friends, Julian and Vamala.
God bless our friends, Julian and Vamala.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. And now we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus,
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of God.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be the glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's receive the blood of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every day, I end up going longer and longer. We've made it to 15 minutes after now. So, Sister Phyllis, we would normally sing, but I want to do the verses so we can be closed. I know I sprung it on you a little early, but that's all right. I know you know how to find it and get there, so thank you.
Right here, yes. Jude 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And Revelation 1, 5 and 6. And from Jehovah Witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Phyllis. I declare eyes see.
Amen. No more men.
In Jesus' mighty name. Now, hold your hands up and do this with me. Say, in the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
We claim every soul that heard this message.
We claim every soul that heard this message.
And we declare, come to the kingdom of God tonight.
And we declare, come to the kingdom of God tonight.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Now this is personal. Say, now I gave my time, talent, and treasure.
I gave my time, talent, and treasure.
And I received a hundredfold return.
And I received a hundredfold return.
That you promised for us in the word.
That you promised for us in the word.
So we can preach the gospel right here on this earth.
So we can preach the gospel right here on this earth.
And help many more people know you.
And
And help many more people know you.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. I'm not done. I have much that I can still say. Mm-hmm. However, that's all I'm saying. That's all. And God bless you. I encourage you. Go back and study this message again. Put some timestamps in. I'm going to go to this message and put a couple timestamps in the comments right now myself so you can go to this message and see it. And you'll see what I do. Follow my example. And you'll be able to put a spot in there wherever this message speaks to you and put a timestamp in right there. And it'll be a blessing to you. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Until we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this, that we love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, 9 a.m. for the prayer program, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. And tomorrow's Friday. It's our praise and celebration day in God. So show up early. I'll have some worship music going, praise music, something. And it'll be a blessing to you. Brother Dutch, I think this is number 4 of this series on this dream. And man, this has been a powerful, powerful situation. So we'll see you again tomorrow. Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. All of you on Blog Talk Radio around the world, wherever you may be, may God richly bless you. I'd love to see you get this into your native language. And if you would be so willing to do that, give me a contact, send me an email. hgpreacherman@gmail.com. It's right there in the comments, the notes of this program. It will be a blessing to you as we do. In Jesus' mighty name.